This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
About the show we're about to watch across the sky, Brown.
It's going to be amazing, and this is either the best idea or the worst idea.
Set aside all journalistic credibility.
Yes,
we're having fun.
This is basically what's going to happen if I can reenact. The moon will be going in front of the sun, or a Sanchez in this point. And that's a partial. I think we've got a full eclipse there.
This is kind of where things are right now.
Yeah, right there.
There we go.
Right, just kind of peeking out right in Mazatlan.
And
soon. Eventually it'll be a total.
Yeah.
It's
getting
in that
yeah.
zone of totality, which is going to be amazing here in Indianapolis.
People, we are live on the internet. I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is April 10th, 2024. Live streaming over on Rumble, on Locals, and on YouTube. Tap that notification bell. Subscribe if you have not, for God's sakes, people. If you all subscribe today, I don't have to say that every day. Wouldn't that be nice? As always, post-game show, rubinreport.locals.com, and that's how you can help keep us independent, which is probably more important now than ever in light of the wacky world that we are in. The theme of today's show is a bit different than usual, because usually we talk about the craziness of the left, and everyone gets it, the wokesters, the gender confused, the hyper-racialized, all of that. But about 10 years ago, there probably was a moment that the good liberals, the decent old school classical liberals, blue dog Democrats, probably could have stopped the crazy people, right? There were the crazy progressives and they were making some noise, and the good liberals probably had a moment. And some of us, I would include myself in that, and probably some of you watching this, tried to expose some of this nonsense and be like, guys, wake up. These people are really out of control. They're destroying liberalism. They're taking over the Democratic Party, all of that stuff. And clearly it did not work. Not enough of them stood up, right? I think we all see that now in terms of the radicalism of the Democrat Party. But I see something, and I think many of you see it, bubbling up on the right now, where the right is starting to go a little crazy. And we need good people on the right, good, decent, principled people on the right, of whom there are many. And it is a wide swath, religiously, politically, culturally, and everything else, to stand up against sort of the more radical elements that seem to be bubbling up and seem to be taking advantage of manipulated algorithms and what I've now described to you guys a couple times as the energy chasing that's going on the internet, right? There's always, I'm going to lay out a tweet for you on this in just a moment, but there's always a fringe and people will always chase it, but all of us can't always chase it, or we will end up in an abyss that is not a good abyss. Are there any good abysses? It will not be a good abyss, I promise you that. But I want to start with something that has been really good over the last couple of years. And something that's been really good over the last couple of years has been Elon Musk waking up, not only politically himself, because again, kind of an old school liberal going, wow, these people are nuts when it comes to this racialization and the gender stuff, and now the border and everything else. But then being like, I'm gonna put some skin in the game, lay out $46 billion of my own dollars to way overpay for Twitter, even though it loses money every single month. I mean, the guy has just consistently lost money on this thing, but I'm gonna do it to defend free speech. So I wanna show you one clip. This is comedian Andrew Schultz on Joe Rogan's podcast talking about Elon Musk's dedication to free speech and why it is so important.
He goes in, man.
It's really interesting to see how political he's gotten, and that immediately upon being, because he was the darling of the left and the right.
Oh, yeah. Big time, the left.
But the left, obviously, for the cars, right?
Yeah.
But the right, because he's a successful businessman, right?
Yeah.
And the second he takes a position politically,
mm-hmm.
he is chastised, shamed, ridiculed. Mm-hmm. And even before that, think about it, everybody was invested in Tesla because the stock was going crazy. So not only are you the darling, you're making me money.
Right.
I want you to be great.
Yeah.
Once you're making people money, they don't want to write bad shit about you.
Yeah.
Especially they got $1 million invested in Tesla.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ridicule this guy and watch half of my money go away.
Yeah.
And the second he opened his mouth about politics.
And the thing is, he snaps back at people.
He goes.
Which is crazy.
He goes.
Bro, he dunks on people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, but I'm also just like, you know, don't you got some science to do? You know, like,
yeah,
get off
how
Twitter.
How are you doing this?
Yeah.
I don't understand how he does any of it.
AI, dude. He created another Elon.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's AI.
The idea that he is going to uphold this soapbox for free speech, despite having some awful things said, the greater outcome will be, hopefully, a civil society where ideas can permeate freely.
He may have very well saved
that
humanity in some way.
Okay, so you all get that, right? We've played enough clips of people saying good things about Elon, and you get why he did this with Twitter. Again, he had no reason to do it. He's sending humans to Mars. That's his plan. Like, he wants interstellar travel. He's working on Neuralink, all of those things. The point of me showing you that clip to set us up here is that, once again, it's these guys, this comedian Schultz and Joe Rogan. These are not Republicans. These are not conservatives. Joe Rogan, an MMA mushroom-eating, pot-smoking comedian. Like, these are not traditional conservatives, but we're trying to line up, I would say, if we're going to save America, and it's a big if, we're trying to line up all the roughly sane people, Elon included, obviously, collect them all against the woke, but now we have to start watching out for something that's bubbling up on the right. So I want to remind you of this this incredible image. It's so simple. This is the beauty of what a meme is. Elon tweeted this out a couple years ago. This is, I think, right after he bought Twitter and he was getting all this hate from everyone on the left, even though, as they just pointed out in that video, he was a hero of the left before that. And it lays out what has happened to the modern left. So in 2008, you can see this originally, by the way, was created, this meme was created, I like giving credit where credit is due, by a guy by the name of Colin Wright, who has been on our show a couple times. He created this meme, Elon shared it, and that's when it really blew up. And Colin was trying to say that basically he was always center left. And that's what most people have been in America in the last 50 years. Sort of moderate center left, culturally things lean a little bit left. And that's kind of where people were. And what you can see there is the left was his fellow liberal. They might have been a little more left than him. And the conservative was on the right. Then around 2012, which now is 8 years ago, my God, the fellow liberal, the progressive, the wokester, they went bananas left. And what he's showing you there is that he stayed roughly kind of center left, and the conservative on the right didn't move. Then he flashes to 2021, and now you see what happens. The crazed lefty, the fellow liberal, who really is the antithesis of being a liberal, he is now a woke progressive calling everyone else a bigot. It then pushes the decent center-left person a little bit to the right, and then the conservative is over there going, I didn't move, LOL. Now, the reason I am explaining that meme to you, people love having memes explained to them, right? That's like a thing. The reason I explain that to you so granularly is because I'm seeing a version of that go the other way right now. But Elon is on our side, and this is good. And I want to show you how he's fighting far-left socialism. So most of the show, we're going to focus on what's going on the right, but I want to show you something that's happening on the left right now that could start happening on our right if we don't wake up soon enough. So there is some crazy stuff coming out of Brazil right now. I've got a tweet here from Colin Rugg. Brazil is moving to regulate X after Elon Musk refused to comply with their anti-free speech demands. Brazil Attorney General Jorge Macias is lashing out after Musk refused to bend the knee. We cannot live in a society in which billionaires domiciled abroad have control of social networks and put themselves in a position to violate the rule of law, failing to comply with court orders and threatening our authorities. It's urgent to regulate social networks. And then Colin points out, old Twitter would have bended the knee. A little bit more from Ryan Savadra. The New York Times notes that Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes, who is going after X and Elon Musk, is highly controversial. This is coming from the New York Times. He has jailed people without trial for posting threats on social media, helped sentence a sitting congressman to nearly 9 years in prison for threatening the court, ordered raids on businessmen with little evidence of wrongdoing, suspended an elected governor from his job, and unilaterally blocked dozens of accounts and thousands of posts on social media with virtually no transparency or room for appeal. We cannot disrespect democracy in order to protect it, said Irapua Santana, a lawyer and legal columnist for O Global, one of Brazil's biggest newspapers. Today, he's doing it against our enemy. Tomorrow, he's doing it against our friend or against us. It's a dangerous precedent. Now, note, again, that's in the New York Times. The New York Times is saying, oh, that far-left judge in Brazil is too left even for us. One more here from Colin Rugg. Breaking, Elon Musk says that ex-employees in Brazil have been told they will be arrested as Brazilian leadership continues to attack free speech. The comment from Musk came in response to Brazilian politician Nicolas Ferreira. We need to get our employees in Brazil to a safe place or otherwise not in a position of responsibility. Then we will do a full data dump. They have been told they will be arrested. Insane. And now I want to show you, this is great, because there are some places on Earth, as we now watch Brazil go off into lefty loony land, there are places on Earth where decency and defense of free speech and individual rights are flourishing. And Argentina is kind of becoming ground zero of that since bringing in Javier Milei. This is a tweet from Diana Modino, who's an economist for Javier Milei. This government, meaning the Argentinian government, will always work for freedom, freedom of expression, and the freedom to live in a democracy. We ratify that. Our country, and by extension, its embassies, will absolutely always provide refuge to all those who are persecuted for sharing these values. Okay, so I started the show by saying we're going to talk about the right. Everything I've talked about so far is what's going on the left. But a guy who's now thought of as right, Elon Musk, who is by no means a traditional conservative, he is the one standing up for free speech. And he's being then backed by comedians like Andrew Schultz and Elon Musk. So that is the interesting thing. There is some offense happening on the right, but we have to be very, very careful here that the crazy voices don't take over everything, because that seems to be bubbling up online. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me talk to you guys about Relaxium in case you're freaking out about all the things happening in the world. Attention to all of you who are sleep deprived. If you stay in sleep debt and want a solution to your sleepless nights and hard to get through days, look no further than Relaxium Sleep, America's number one most trusted sleep aid. Clinical neurologist Dr. Eric Chilibriti formulated this innovative drug-free blend of natural ingredients, including the exclusive Valorist blend that relaxes both the mind and body for peaceful, deep sleep. Medical experts tell us chronic sleep deprivation has severe consequences impacting cognitive function, mood, and overall health. Adequate and consistent sleep is crucial for optimal well-being and daily functioning. Seriously, my friends, if you're struggling with sleep, then you owe it to yourself to try Relaxium Sleep risk-free, like the tens of thousands of Americans that no longer suffer and are now falling asleep faster, staying asleep longer, and waking up refreshed every day. Go to relaxium.com/Ruben, and now back to me. Okay, so now I want to shift from some craziness happening internationally, specifically in Brazil on the right, and then on the left, and then a good guy, Elon Musk, defending free speech, which is one of, free speech should be a left and right issue, but okay. Now I want to shift that to a little bit of what's going on the right here in America right now. So I want to start by talking about there's a fight brewing that I've been trying to kind of heal to the extent that maybe I can, because I'm in this world too. Between Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro. Tucker, a couple times, and I discussed this with Ben right in this studio, and I just want to be 100% clear, I will gladly discuss this with Tucker in person, either in here or in his studio or digitally or wherever, if that's what he would like to do. I'm going to do my best not to move on anyone's motives or anything else. I'm going to try to lay this out cleanly. But Tucker, a couple times, has really gone after Ben's motives as it relates to Israel and America and foreign policy, implying that Ben doesn't love America, saying actually that he despises Ben and people like him. Those are Tucker's words, as it relates to foreign policy and everything, claiming that Ben wants American troops on the ground in Israel, simply things that aren't true. Ben, in this very studio a week and a half ago, laid out his counter to all of that. Now, a lot of people are arguing, okay, there's maybe something anti-Semitic here or something else. I think what's going on actually is not that. I think what's going on here is purely a business move. Tucker is creating a new network. That is a fact. And Ben has a conservative digital network. That is a fact. There's only so many people that subscribe to these things. There's only so many people that watch all of these things. And the tension that's coming there, I think, is something that we need to know what it is and where it's really coming from. So I want to now jump back to something 2 weeks ago. This is me on Patrick Bet-David's podcast. He was asking me about what's going on with this Tucker Ben situation.
It seems fairly obvious to me she wants to leave the Daily Wire. And I would say there's a little bit of the Tucker thing here, too, which Tucker is building a network. He now has the Tucker Carlson Network. He's gone after Ben, I would say, in a fairly unfair way. Repeatedly going after Ben's motives, saying he doesn't love America, things like that.
Who? Tucker.
Tucker, yeah. Right. Ben right. has repeatedly, he did it on my show, he's done it on his show, said, I'll be happy to sit down with you. I've offered to moderate it, but you could moderate it. They don't even need a moderator. I think it would be a good conversation to have. You can have difference of opinion on, say, foreign policy or any political issue without going after someone's motives or saying they don't love America, that sort of thing. But at a business level, Tucker now has a network that is in competition. He's building a network now that is in competition with the Daily Wire. So it would be pretty great to take out Ben Shapiro. That's just reality.
You think
right?
that's what it is?
I think that there is an element of that. I'm removing just the specifics around Israel or politics for a second.
Why would Tucker see Ben as competition, though?
Because if you're building a right-leaning network, Daily Wire is number one, right? So you go for number one. You're trying to take out number one. I can't say that for sure. And again, this is something I've said on my show. I would gladly sit with both of them and discuss it. I've had both of them on my show, obviously, repeatedly. But I think there is some reality there. If Tucker's going, well, what is the new right? What is the future
of
the right?
You think Tucker's just doing that to Ben because
not
of...
Not just. I think there are legit political right. differences. But think about it. If you're going, oh, this guy's got the online network, that's the right online network, and now I'm trying to build a network, it would be pretty damn good if I could irreparably wound him. That's just reality.
Okay. So I see a lot of people going after everyone's motives and what they're doing and everything else. I think what you can see I'm trying to do there is not really. I'm just trying to talk about the reality of the situation, like business and competition and everything else. By the way, this is one of the reasons that I love being independent. Like, I'm not with a network, and I'm intentionally not with a network, because I think if I do good stuff, you guys will tune in. Hopefully you share the videos. We'll build a nice business. I'm not worried what anyone else is doing. And if you watch them, that's fine. And if you don't watch them, that's fine. And all of that stuff. And sometimes I meet people at the supermarket who come up to me and they're like, Dave, you know, I used to watch you 5 days a week. Now I watch 3 days a week because I just can't take politics anymore. Or sometimes people will be like, Dave, I'm watching you every day now and I used to only watch you once. And it's all good. It's all good. But everyone has their own selective pressures on how they build a business. So now I want to show you a screenshot of an interview that Tucker did last night. And now I think you'll begin to see where I think the right is starting to get a little crazy. And I think those of us, again, the wide swath of us that are not energy chasers and not ideologues can clean some of this stuff up. Tucker did an interview last night. I'll read the tweet from his official account. Episode 91, how does the government of Israel treat Christians? In the West, Christian leaders don't seem interested in knowing the answer. They should be. Here's the view of a pastor from Bethlehem. So he has this hour-long interview with this pastor from Bethlehem. He doesn't tell you that this pastor from Bethlehem in his Twitter bio actually claims he lives in occupied Palestine, which is not a place. Okay, so there's his Twitter bio, occupied Palestine. He lives in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, by the way, is completely run by the Palestinian Authority. It is not safe for Jews to wander around in Bethlehem because it's run by the PA they're not big fans of Jews. Bethlehem has purged a ton of its Christian population since the Palestinian Authority took over. When the Jews were in charge of Bethlehem, the Christians were doing just fine. I want to show it, but again, I'm showing you this just to kind of calmly lay out some facts because I think there's a little confusion here. So David Friedman, former U.S. ambassador to Israel under Donald Trump, who Tucker Carlson obviously likes a lot, he saw that video and he wrote this. Tucker, my friend, before the Palestinians took over Bethlehem, pursuant to the Oslo Accords in the mid-1990s, Bethlehem was under Israeli control and its population was 80% Christian. It was one of the centers of the Christian world. Since Oslo and the resulting Palestinian rule, Bethlehem became 80% Muslim and Christians are afraid, but they don't speak out against the Palestinian Authority because you can't and survive. Okay, so as I pointed out, you're purging all of the Christians from Bethlehem, not because of the Jews or the Israelis. You're doing it because of the Palestinian Authority that they're, right?
That's a problem. But by the way, it's not just in Bethlehem. Lebanon was a Christian country, about 80% Christian 50 years ago, and the Christians have largely left Lebanon as Hezbollah has taken over and Islamists have taken over. There's very few Christians in Egypt anymore. I would like to know if maybe Tucker is interested in covering any of that, right? Like, that's something. So the point here is that politically, I suppose you could say it's wrong, but I think that that's not really what's going on here. I think it's personal. I think that what Tucker is doing, it's just, this is just a move. And Tucker, if you're watching this or if your guys show you this video, I'm actually not going after you, really, in a personal way. Business is business. And that's what I laid out with PBD. Like, if you're selling shoes and someone else is selling more shoes than you, and the Daily Wire is crushing it in the subscription game and bringing in Rev and has a huge audience, and Tucker's the new guy trying to build a network, you want to go after them. That is just a fact. So I'm not impugning Tucker's motives. I think maybe he's a little confused about what some of the issues are, but that's it, right? He's trying to take some subs away from Ben, right? And add to some of the drama around the Daily Wire. I think that's like the most calm, rational way that that could be explained. But I wanna point out a tweet that I posted yesterday that kind of, I think, encapsulates this feeling that I'm trying to share with you guys right now. Social media has been crazily toxic to our culture. Politics is no longer about politics. It's about energy chasing the fringe for clicks and views. And every fringe has a fringe. Until we wisen up to that, we will continue the race to the bottom. Hint, there is no bottom. So people really need to understand this, right? Like, there's always a fringe online, and the fringe has a fringe, and the fringe has a fringe, and all of that. And there'll always be ways to get new clicks from that and bring more of the crazy into the center. And I think that that's what we're dealing with right now. All of the things that we now openly mock about the left, right? Like, the boys are girls and 2 + 2 = 5 and being somehow not racist is now racist. Those were all fringe, crazy leftist ideas. But the internet and the algorithms centered them, and then the good liberals did nothing to stop it. Or maybe we're distracted or blown away, or a few of us tried, but it clearly, whatever defense was there, whatever force field, wall, door, whatever you want to call it, it did not stop it. Well, I think we could be doing a version of that on the right now. And the real risk is, if both sides go off, America's done. That's it. We will be living in sectarian religious warfare and craziness that will be medieval faster than you know it. So quickly, I want to show you that image that Elon posted one more time. So just burn this into your brain. We're going to show it a couple of times. If you are concerned, if you think that this image that I'm showing you is roughly right, that the left went bananas while the conservatives basically didn't move, what you don't want now is the conservatives going bananas and energy chasing every fringe idea and welcoming in every crazy thing, right? Like, most Americans, I just so fundamentally believe this. I know I'm right about this. Most Americans are willing to live and let live. Most Americans don't want to force anyone to believe in their religion. Most Americans want to keep a little bit of keep a little bit more of what they earn in their pocket. Most Americans are decent, good people who believe in freedom. But if we set no guardrails around the crazy, we will give that up. We will give it up really, really quickly. So this is what I think has to become the theme of 2024 for the right. It's like, we have to basically, I would say get Trump in office, because we got to get rid of Biden. Maybe there's an RFK plan there too. Like, but we clearly know the left is out of control, and there has to be some alternative on the other side. So we'll get to more on that in just a second. Let me talk to you guys about restful sleep. Guys, are you struggling to get a good night's sleep? You're not alone. Millions of Americans face an epidemic of sleeplessness that is silently harming their health and well-being. And millions of Americans are parents, which means they're not sleeping nearly as much as they should be. So when they lay down at night knowing they have something to ensure a deep and regenerative sleep, sleep becomes life-changing. But before you reach for melatonin, you should know that there are mountains of research revealing the many risks of melatonin. It's actually been banned from over-the-counter sales in many countries, but not North America. From disrupting sleep cycles to increasing tolerance and dependency over time, if you're in the need of a sleep supplement, melatonin's not it. Enter Restful Sleep Formula, crafted by awake doctors who understand the harms of melatonin, like Dr. Peter McCullough and his chief medical board at The Wellness Company. Restful Sleep Formula is an all-natural alternative to melatonin, packed with ashwagandha.
kava, chamomile, passion flower, and more. This powerful capsule is everything you need for a deep, rejuvenating sleep. And here's the kicker. With Restful Sleep Formula, you actually save 56% compared to buying each one of these supplements separately. Plus, you save an extra 15% and get free shipping when you use code Ruben at checkout. Don't just dream of better sleep. Make it a reality. Go to twc.health/Ruben today and use code Ruben at checkout. So now I want to show you what a sort of wide tent, sort of sane conservatism can look like. This might freak some of you out, but I'm going to show the orange guy because I think he's doing a pretty good job of it. What Republicans or right-leaning people have wanted for decades since Roe v. Wade was put in 1972 or 73. I think it was 73. Since Roe v. Wade became law in 73, what Republicans have always said is that it was the wrong law because there's no constitutional right. It was the wrong decision, Supreme Court decision, because there was no constitutional right to an abortion. And when we reversed it last year, in my estimation, as someone that considers myself begrudgingly pro-choice, that was correct. There's no, it's not in the Constitution, you have a right to an abortion. So anything that's not in the Constitution, you kick back to the states. Well, now there seems to be a move amongst a certain set of Republicans that they should institute a national abortion ban. Donald Trump, who put the Supreme Court justices on that reversed Roe v. Wade, doing exactly what Republicans claim they wanted for decades, is now at odds with them because he's saying it should be left to the people and left to the states. He's taking the consistent position. So here is Donald Trump clarifying his position on abortion and the decision, but also to the backdrop of how you must win elections or this is all irrelevant.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
Okay, so the reason I'm showing you this as I'm to the backdrop of some fighting on the right is we're seeing now fighting on the right on this, and I think Donald Trump is taking the right position. He's taking the ideologically consistent position that conservatives have taken for decades, which is you push it back to the states, you let the states decide via vote or legislation what they want to do. By the way, as you guys have noted many times, I was actually at odds here in Florida with Ron DeSantis, who put the heartbeat bill in, the six-week bill, which I personally thought was a bit too much. We had 15 weeks in Florida. I thought it was just fine, and I think it did hurt DeSantis electorally as it came to the presidential run. So the reason I'm showing you that clip is Trump is taking what I think is the moderate position, but it's also to the backdrop. It's not only it's the position Republicans have claimed and conservatives have claimed to want for decades. It's also the moderate position. And it's the thing that will help Republicans get elected, because what he's saying is we have to win too. And it has become very clear that Democrats use abortion to win elections. So no matter how crazy the Democrats go on foreign policy, on borders, on gender, on all of the important stuff, if they have abortion in their back pocket, they can get especially middle class women to vote Democrat at the expense of everything else, at the expense of everything else, it would have been good if I knocked the coffee over there, it would have driven the point home, at the expense of absolutely everything else, right? And so Trump is right about this. You have to win and you have to figure out how to make sure that the Democrats are not in power anymore because they're destroying everything else. Okay, so now I want to jump over to CNN because Arizona is pushing for a new abortion ban, and we'll show you some of the political fallout of this. Take a look.
Arizona Supreme Court, a court made up of all Republican appointees, have ruled in a 4-2 decision that physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal. That decision and the timing is truly stranger than fiction. It happened just a day after Donald Trump said, leave it to the states to make up their minds on abortion. Now, the country has firsthand evidence of what exactly a 50-state patchwork approach to abortion would actually look like. The GOP spent 50 years trying to eradicate Roe versus Wade, but now that they have, the aftermath isn't pleasant. And only now that the electoral consequences of all of this are becoming more clear, Republicans are acknowledging that laws like the one on the books in Arizona simply are not good ones. That Arizona law, it's not just decades old, it is generations old. It is nearly 160 years old. Lawmakers wrote it in 1864. 1864, when Arizona was not even a state, when Abraham Lincoln was still alive, when professional baseball did not exist, when Jules Verne wrote Journey to the Center of the Earth, when Manet painted one of his most famous works. That law is a literal antique.
Okay, first off, just because things are old don't mean that they're bad. That's number one. The Constitution's kind of old. The Bill of Rights are kind of old. They're pretty good. That's number one, lady. The reason I'm showing you that clip is because you can see what's happening here. Roe v. Wade gets reversed. If you're watching this, most likely you think that was probably good, regardless of your feelings on abortion, because again, it was not guaranteed by the Constitution. You kick it back to the states. And if you feel very strongly about 8-month abortion, you can move to California if that's at the top of your hierarchy of importance. And if you feel more moderate about abortion, you can move to a more moderate state, let's say, a state that has 15-week abortion. And that's it. The reason I'm showing you that clip is they are now going to try to make abortion a crazy wedge issue for 24, because as they watch, people know that Joe Biden has dementia, and as we bail on Israel and as we destroy our own border and all of the woke stuff, they have got to keep the base. They've got to keep the base. So how are you going to do it? You're going to make sure that all of the people that are always waking up, that we're always playing clips of, these moderate liberals who just don't want to vote for Democrats anymore, you got to scare the hell out of them. And abortion is the number one way you can do it. So now, believe it or not, I'm going to show you some sane analysis from MSNBC. This is a guy, Andrew Heilman. He blocked me on Twitter. This is the same guy who was on Real Time with Bill Maher with Russell Brand, and Russell Brand just absolutely destroyed him for being a total hack. But here he is actually explaining that the further the right goes with these abortion bans, the more it will help Democrats, which is Donald Trump's point. So you have a leftist activist on MSNBC actually making the same exact point as Donald Trump, and he's happy because he knows it will help Democrats. Take a look.
We're going to be saying this a lot between now and November, which is the human cost of this, huge, at least in the short term, to Arizona women, if this goes into effect in any short term way. The political effect of this could not be better for Joe Biden. That is just a fact. And it's not just about the contrast. It's not just about where Donald Trump is. This is now in these states, Jonathan, you know, this is a turnout game.
Could not be better for Joe Biden, and he's absolutely right. Again, doesn't matter necessarily what your personal religious feelings on abortion are. If you lose all of the elections in the goal to get exactly what you want with no compromise, you will never win anything, and you will never get any of those policies. Trump did the thing everyone on the right wanted. It's back to the states, and now he's saying, guys, if you push for all of this absolute abortion ban in all of these states, you are going to get more and more people, especially middle-class women, to vote for Biden, and I will lose. And do you think that will be good for America? So you really, again, this is a fight. I'm trying to shine a light on a fight on the right. And there's a you know, sort of principle versus politics portion of this. But Andrew, when you've got leftist activists on MSNBC agreeing with Donald Trump, then maybe there's something there. Here is Vice President Kamala Harris, who is also kind of excited on what's happening in Arizona because, yes, it's going to help Democrats.
Today, the Arizona Supreme Court issued a ruling that creates a near total abortion ban in the state of Arizona, a ban with no exceptions for rape and incest, a ban that will apply to women before they even know they are pregnant, and threatens prison time for nurses and doctors. And all of this by reviving a law that was passed in the 1800s, before women could vote, and before Arizona was even a state. Understand, to stop bans like this, we need a United States Congress that will restore the protections of Roe v. Wade. And when they do, President Joe Biden will sign it into law. And let's always remember, it does not have to be this way.
Okay, so first off, I think she stole my line. It does not have to be this way. That's what I'm saying all the time, right? It does not have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this crazy, but okay. Well, you can see exactly what they're doing there. They like this. They like a more, let's say, radical right. And I'm not judging. If you're watching this and you are 100% pro-life, I am not judging you. You are entitled to your beliefs. But it is not electorally winnable. That's the point. And they can rally the freaking base to keep a man with dementia and his woke band of lunatics in power because of this issue. Again, that's why Trump is right. And that's all to the backdrop of all of these decent people, Joe Rogan, Andrew Schultz, Sage Steele, all of these people that I keep showing you videos of waking up and being like, the Dems are completely insane. So now I wanna show you a video of Charles Barkley, NBA superstar Charles Barkley, sitting down with Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, as you know, moderate liberal waking up, but has kind of said he won't vote for Trump. But here he is sitting with Charles Barkley, who's waking up to all of the stuff. And Charles Barkley just lays it out as he sees it. But he's also having a problem with Trump. But what they also mean by saying they have a problem with Trump is they have a problem on abortion specifically. So watch all of the things they agree on. And then it's like, will you get there? Will you vote the right way?
These migrants, first of all, the border is a joke. The border is a joke.
Yeah.
Well, they had these migrants, they call them, had just bust up in New York. They got them on camera kicking and beating like cops. They beat up these
two cops, yeah. Beating up two cops, but, beating up two police officers
but they were,
in the subway
Stephen
station.
A, they were out of jail in 24 hours. And the next day.
Actually, it was the same day, Charles.
But, but 2 days later, they called them robbing Macy's. I'm like,
wow.
First of all, they beat up cops. How are you out of jail in 24 hours? And then clearly, 2 days later, they're robbing Macy's. Anybody, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, a dog, a cat, or a puppy, you know that's wrong, period.
But it's woke culture. But with woke culture and everything else that's been going on, you've got folks on the left that have endorsed a more lenient legal system, and obviously folks on the right going crazy about it and calling for law and order. Who do you side with, considering our iniquitous history, what's going on today, and who the candidates are in terms of Biden and Trump in all likelihood running for office? What do you do, Charles? Who do you vote for?
First of all, we need law and order, Stephen A.
I agree.
Okay, so the woke have gone crazy. We need law and order. We can't have all this craziness in the border, et cetera, et cetera. So if you were a wise person, a somewhat right-leaning wise person, what would you be trying to do right now as the left goes bananas with all of those policies? What you'd be trying to do is create the widest tent possible. You'd be trying to say to everybody, okay, maybe we don't agree exactly on the week of abortion, but we're kind of against abortion. So I don't know, let's figure out something, 6 to 12, something like that. You'd be saying to people, okay, you have this policy as it relates to foreign policy. That's not exactly mine, but like we both kind of love America and let's figure this out, like what role America should have in the world. And we could do that through issue after issue after issue. What we cannot do right now is go completely bananas, right? When the left did not stop the crazy people, we cannot just let our crazy people take over. So the left, you know, it's interesting, a couple of years ago, Jordan Peterson took a bunch of meetings, and he's talked about this publicly before, but he took a bunch of meetings when he thought that the Democrat Party could still be reformed. He went and met with Congress people and senators, et cetera, et cetera. And he asked them one question repeatedly, which is, when does the left go too far? And everyone was afraid to answer that question. Now, to me, there's obvious answers. The left goes too far when it says that boys are girls and that, you know, seven-year-olds should have gender reassignment surgery. But he couldn't get anyone in public office to admit any of those things. And that's why right now the right is in a precarious moment. Are we going to say that we have to have everything the way we want it to be? Or are we going to try to find some compromise and build those things, right? So now I want to just jump back one more time to that. I think we got it two more times, but to that Overton window meme. Again, the left, you all get what's going on the blue side of that thing. The left going bananas. The right now, Donald Trump, it's ironic. Donald Trump, who for all those years that they called him a far-right maniac and the head of the alt-right and a racist and whatever, he's the one not only taking the, I would say, principled position, because it's what Republicans wanted for years as it pertains to abortion, but also the electorally sane one. You can get reelected by allowing it to be in the states, right? Because then Kamala and Heilman and these other people who are now excited, they're salivating that the Republicans are going all in on abortion again, and that is a problem. And they're excited when they see somebody like Tucker take the Israel issue and do something that I would say is at best deeply dishonest, because it causes these fissures in the right, okay? So now let's go back to the bananas left, because they are the ones that are currently in power and they're the ones ruining so much. Here is Joe Biden. We're gonna show you a couple clips of this interview. It ain't pretty, folks. And I don't know what work they're now doing to his face also, but here he is just basically lying about what actions he could take on the border, because he could solve it right now, but he's pretending he can't. Take a look.
Have you made a final decision on taking executive order in terms of what you want to do at the border? That includes the power to shut down the border, as it was suggested.
Well, it suggested that. We're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when the border has over 500,000 people, 5,000 people a day mm-hmm. trying to cross the border because you can't manage it, slow it up. There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation. And some are suggesting I should just go ahead and try it. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. But we're trying to work through that right now.
Okay, first off, I don't know what they're doing to his face. He looks kind of clay. They've obviously done something to keep his eyes open. He's confused. He's tired. He's holding notes. We're going to show you another clip. Like, he holds notes because he doesn't know what he's saying. Also, it's just not true what he's saying. The president of the United States has the authority to shut down the border right now. Let's not forget that when Donald Trump was president and he largely shut down the border, everyone said that was just because he was a mean and a racist. Nobody was saying it was illegal for him to do it. So suddenly that Biden likes the courts, they hate the courts. They constantly want to pack the courts so that they can get the outcomes that I want. But now let's just watch a little bit of Joe Biden talking about his legacy. And you just let me know, is he a little confused here or what? What year does he think this is?
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people and reduce the prospect of war. And because of Vietnam, and
So he ran just a couple years ago to reduce the prospect of war because of Vietnam. He's got my vote. I've just changed. I'm a Democrat now. No more war in Vietnam. Okay, so the man does not know what year it is. The fact that they even let that be aired, because, you know, these things are highly controlled, as Sage Steele points out. By the way, I've got Sage Steele in studio this afternoon, so we'll get more into that, obviously. But the fact that they let that be put out there is miraculous. The man thinks that we're fighting the Vietnam War. Also, the first part was also a lie. He said he wants to help change the life of ordinary people. Well, if he means for the worse, then I suppose he's done a decent job, because you all know, I mean, if you just take forget border and gender and everything else, if you just take the price of goods, go to your grocery store, everyone knows that everything is more expensive. So forget everything else. So he's just a liar and he's muddled and he's confused and everything else. But again, I show you that to the backdrop of that meme, because he now is what the left is. They've gone bananas, they're mind muddled, confused about the issues, doing all the wrong things, and we gotta just collect everybody else. But it's not just Joe Biden that's mind muddled and confused about all the things and doesn't know basic science or anything else. Check out this one, this is wild. So, you know, we had the big eclipse the other day, it was pretty spectacular. Here is Democratic Representative Sheila Jackson. And I'm not a scientist, but just listen to what she says about the moon, and maybe we can look into this.
Sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon.
Okay, she is right. It's almost impossible to go near the moon. I'll give her that one. It's pretty much impossible. We haven't figured out a way, the sun. We haven't figured out a way to get near the sun yet. I'll grant her that one. It's hot. It's pretty hot, gas stuff. The moon is not made of gases. There are no gases on the moon. There's no atmosphere on the moon, right? There's no gravity on the moon. It's a rock. It's up there. If anything, some people think it's made of cheese, but it is not made of gases. That woman, there should have been people from the insane asylum right off camera. And the second she said that, they should have said, ma'am, please put the microphone down. We're taking you home. And that should be it. We should never talk of Sheila Jackson again or anything else. But these are the crazy people. There is a woman that is a congresswoman that thinks that the gases of the moon, that the moon is made of gases. And we can't get too close to the sun. Like, these people are insane. But if you would like some more insanity coming from the Democrats, and again, this is all to the backdrop of what has happened to these people. Democrats, whether you agreed with them or not, JFK Democrats, that's what the Democrat Party was. It was a group of moderates who believed that there was a little more utility to the state than, say, what the conservative side would believe. And that's what we had as that healthy tension between the country. The fight between liberal and conservative was liberals, oh, we want to do a little bit more with the government. Conservatives, we want to do a little bit less. We want to focus more on the home and the family. You guys want to focus a little more on social services. That would be a basic way you could look at the argument we had in America for 200 years. And then the crazies on the left took over. So you have a president with dementia claiming things that are just simply not true. You have a woman, a congresswoman, claiming that the moon is made of gas. And here is a congresswoman, her name is Jasmine Crockett, and listen to her policy proposal. This is a gem.
Just this past week I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity, and I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they proposed is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. Yeah. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring fourth people, exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really, exactly.
They may want those checks like they got during COVID.
Exactly.
Okay, so reparations for people who were not slaves and no taxes for black people. Guys, all we have to do, those of us who are sane, is not be completely insane right now. This is our moment. Sanity can make a comeback. And the funny thing is, it ain't that difficult. There was a man who I made fun of a lot on this show about a year ago, year and a half ago. He was a guy over in Pennsylvania running for senator against Dr. Oz. The whole thing seemed like it was made up. His name was John Fetterman. He had had some medical episodes. It seemed like he was partially mentally deficient. Something was not right. And he was a pretty far left progressive. In the last year and a half, as his brain has started working again, literally, he is becoming the most sane Democrat in the Senate. When we show you that meme of the wackos going that way, he is a guy going, something ain't right with you people. I'm still a Democrat. It says D on my door in the office, but I'm going to come back this way. And now he represents what a sane Democrat, even though I disagree with him on a bunch of stuff, he now represents what a sane Democrat would be. We've got a tweet here from the New York Post. Senator John Fetterman blasts squatters, violent crime. I am not woke. So you have someone on the Democrat side saying, enough is enough. There is no such thing as squatters' rights. He's not woke. He gets it. It's wild. The man was a somewhat crazy lefty when he had brain damage, and as his brain healed, he became sane. He became old school liberal, let's say. I'm pretty sure Robert De Niro and Robin Williams were in that movie, Awakenings. It's pretty much that story. Anyway, as one of the other things we've seen the Democrats go completely insane on, and there's a version of it happening on the right with, let's say, Tucker, is obviously Israel. Here is John Fetterman defending Israel quite cleanly and in common language and in a way that I think virtually everyone can and should understand.
I think everybody wants Hamas destroyed, but I think the position Netanyahu seems to be taking, and I'm wondering how you feel about him these days, is that destroy Hamas at all costs. Mm. You know, they say many of the victims now are women and children, clearly very, very innocent. I know what you're saying, no life is better than the other, we understand that. But at what point do you say we have to come up with another strategy that at least keeps the innocent, the women and the children, safe?
Well, it very is important to minimize the kind of collateral damage and protecting civilization lives as well. And I would hope that Hamas decides to not starting to hide behind civilians and creating those circumstances that makes it even more difficult as well.
But that seems to be their strategy too, Senator, to hide behind.
Yeah, that is their strategy. And now even in hospitals or in the tunnels and everything. And we also can't forget about the hostages as well, too. They've been now in custody now since October 7th. So it's an awful situation. And you don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with every leader's views. But, you know, we have an opportunity to stand with Israel in this situation. And that's what I've decided to do.
It's so interesting because Gail King, it's like, lady, yes, women and children have been killed. That is the fault of Hamas who hide amongst them. Fetterman lays that out. Everything Fetterman's saying there, and even, you know, in a weird way now, I sort of somewhat regret or something like even making fun of him because of the hoodie, because the guy is just becoming a normal, decent guy sitting up there laying out basic truths. Like, how are Western civilizations supposed to fight total barbarians who want their own people killed, right? So the point I'm showing you there is that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to bring people over to the sane camp right now. Like, I'm not going to vote the same way as John Fetterman in that he is a Democrat, but he's now trying to represent something sane on the Democrat side. So the question really for all of us is, what is the sane thing on the right? And we can put that to the backdrop of that Tucker video. We can put that to the backdrop of what's happening with the abortion issue right now. And now one more time, let's show you that video. That meme. So here's the meme one more time. I really drive this thing home. I want this thing burned in your brain. The left has gone wacky. So that leaves the center people moving to the right. But if the right go wacky, it's going to push the center people back to the left. So all of those people who are about to break, they could all end up voting Democrat if the right goes nuts, as it pertains not only to Israel and abortion, but a whole bunch of other issues. I think we have the screenshot of the Tucker thing again. Like this guy, that pastor right there, he lives in what he claims is occupied Palestine. So he does not even believe that Israel should exist. There's also a video, we saw it right before the show started, so we couldn't get it to you. But there's video of him on October 8th basically lauding the Palestinians for killing the Israelis, basically talking about how proud they should be. But that really is not the major point here. The major point here is that if we watch everybody go to those fringes, we are all gonna go to hell. Might I quote Dave Rubin one more time on the Twitter machine? Social media has been crazily toxic to our culture. Politics is no longer about politics. It's about energy chasing the fringe for clicks and views, and every fringe has a fringe. Until we wisen up to that, we will continue the race to the bottom. Hint, there is no bottom. Guys, I think I laid this one out. Did I lay this one out? We did our work today. So you got to figure out what you're going to do with all that. I'm not going after people's motives. I'm trying to lay out what I think are somewhat business decisions as it relates to content and why people do things. I can get caught up in that game at times. You know, these algorithms are major pains in the asses. The way you have to, you know, when I take my August off the grid, we have to put up content throughout all of August, because the years that we didn't, the algorithm basically destroys you, and then it takes 2 months for
for my hardcore viewers that tune in every day to even find the show again. So there is a game being played. There's a game being played as it pertains to competition and everything else. I don't need to run around calling this person racist or this person an anti-Semite or anything else. But if you are roughly sane and you are roughly on the right now, we got a chance, man. You got a chance to bring in Elon Musk, and you got a chance to bring in Joe Rogan and Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley and all of these people. But if you go the other way on abortion, if you totally throw Israel under the bus, which is in essence throwing Western civilization under the bus, if you take all of the radical positions, because there's energy and clicks there, we are done. I would prefer that not be the case. Part one of my interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is, I would say, in that same center, whether you're going to vote for him or not, that is up on all platforms right now. The full thing's up ad-free at rubinreport.locals.com. People of the internet is live at 1 p.m. We leave you with a mosquito-y cold close. No, we're swapping that one. What are we doing? We're going right to the postgame, people. There is no cold close. Postgame, rubinreport.locals.com in 30 seconds. Ciao. Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the postgame wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.